You cannot serve God and wealth. Or perhaps you know the version, you cannot serve both God and mammon, as it's sometimes translated. I found myself talking about God and money on Friday. Among my roles as a parish priest, I am one of the governors of Send Church of England Primary School. Whenever the full governing body meets, we begin the meeting with a short prayer, which I'm often privileged to be asked to lead. And when I do it, I usually add a brief reflection on something that I think is topical or related to our business that day or our general governance role. So on Friday, I began by drawing Governor's attention. They already knew, because we pay attention to such things, that our value for the month during September, each month is a different focus on a different value, and it's a bonus in September because the values are gentleness and kindness. So they are uppermost in our minds. And I also told my fellow governors that on Friday we were on the eve of St. Matthew's Day, which now was yesterday. And I suggested there might be some connections between the values of gentleness and kindness and commemoration of the story of St. Matthew. Because Matthew, I said, appears in the list of the 12 apostles of Jesus, and according to the gospel written under his name, he was a tax collector, or sometimes called a publican, which is not the same as we use the word publican these days. And neither was he of the inland revenue kind of tax collector, but a despised collaborator with the Roman Empire, regarded as morally dubious, ritually and socially unclean. That's how his Jewish compatriots will have looked at Matthew as he went about his role as a tax collector. And yet, Matthew was among the company that Jesus was often criticized for keeping, for he was amongst the sinners and the unclean. And yet, by meeting Matthew with gentleness and kindness, among other things we imagine, Jesus was instrumental in transforming him and drawing him in to followership and then discipleship and later apostleship when he was sent out to preach the gospel to the world. Matthew's gospel is interesting in certain unique features. It is the only gospel which includes the story of the birth of Jesus with a focus on Joseph. It is the only gospel to include the visit of the Magi and their curiously expensive gifts. It is the only gospel to include the little story of the escape and the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt. And it is the only gospel to contain certain financial parables, such as the unmerciful servant, who you may recall was forgiven a debt, but would not forgive a debtor. And the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. Do you remember that one? Who were paid by the owner exactly as he had verbally contracted with scrupulous equality, despite their whinging. They all got paid the same. Now, because of these financial connections and because of Matthew's role as a tax collector, you will not be at all surprised, and perhaps you know already, that St. Matthew is the patron saint of accountants and of bankers and of bookkeepers and of all such people. And I said on Friday to my fellow governors that we might therefore also see him as an inspiration to one of the key governance roles in schools, which is specified as being this by Her Majesty's government: to oversee the financial performance of the school and make sure its money is well spent. And then I concluded by saying that however well we spend the children's money, for that is how I regard it, we all know that gentleness and kindness don't cost a penny. Now, I think this observation brings us very close to an understanding of this question of not being able to serve God and mammon. We all know, I hope, not everything has a price, a monetary price. Not everything can be bought and sold. And we know that the best things in life, the most valuable things, are free. They cost no money. But we also know that, yes, money is important. It's even a necessary part of how we use and transfer our wealth. Money can be convenient and powerful. It can go to places we will never reach. But we also suspect, and perhaps we feel it, that wealth can also be a burden and something of a tyrant. And it can trap us into ways of behaving that can be almost like an addiction. Yes, money can purchase certain freedoms, but it does not itself make us truly free. Wealth can certainly make us better off in certain respects. And it's obvious that the rich tend to fare better than the poor. But riches do not necessarily secure our happiness, our health, our love lives, or our sense of purpose. So Jesus told a story about a manager to illustrate some of the complexities of dealing with money. Now, I've got an idea. I don't know whether you agree or not, but I suspect there is no such thing as clean money. A lot of new laws have been brought in recently to counteract so-called money laundering. You know, this idea that money earned through illegal means can, through various devices, reappear in the economic system, washed of all of its evil origins. Well, okay, but that's a device. I think there's no such thing as purely clean money. Money is all dirty and tainted in some way. I think that's a truth that we need to come to terms with. But even though it may be dirty money, entirely, in some way, it can still be used to enable good and to, for example, make relationships stronger and easier and healthier. We may not be able to escape all of the compromises that money and wealth gets us into, but within its limitations, we can still serve God and give ourselves to serving true value. Now, the parable of this manager in Luke 16, which Bill read, has been given various titles. When the Gospels were first written, of course, the parables of Jesus weren't given titles. You don't find that in the text. So, for example, you don't find a title which says, "The Parable of the Lost Sheep." you just get the parable. You don't find the parable of the lost coin, you just get the parable. And you don't get the parable of the prodigal son in the gospel, it's just the story of the lost son. But here we have a parable that's commonly called the parable of the shrewd manager. In another translation, it's the parable of the tricky steward. And in another translation I found, it's the story of the crooked manager. Now all of these are translations of a Greek word in the original gospel. And the word used there is oikonomon. And yes, it does sound a bit like economy, from which we derive all those kinds of words. Oikos is the Greek word for house or household, and nomon means law or custom. So it's someone who, the oikonomon, is a person whose role is literally to deal with the ordering and the affairs of a household. Or a business, or who plays some part in the institutional running of things. And in Jesus' story, this oikonomon, this, we'll call him a steward, manager, is remembered for being, well, shall we say, creative with his responsibilities. The character of the rich owner is one that perhaps we can attach our own experiences to. Someone with money who's able to own things and to employ people and to run a business. So the rich owner is able to employ a manager in this story to recover his wealth from tenants on his farms, it seems. That's the kind of image. And the manager is a kind of go-between who will have taken oil, wine, wheat, whatever it was, the share that was due to the owner. And he will have administered the transfer of that wealth to the rich man. But there have been some dodgy dealings in this story that have come to light. And the rich man asks for the manager to give an account of what's been going on. Well, we know the story, we know how it works out. He makes some adjustments so that he comes out of it, if not smelling of roses, at least with a better chance of his own well-being after he's lost his job. And for these actions, the rich owner commends the shrewd manager. And at this point, we are close, I think, to what Jesus was trying to teach us about life. This is the lesson of the parable, I think. I think Jesus is telling us that in all of our dealings, we are to be canny, shrewd, thoughtful, conscientious, clever, maybe even tricky in some sense. Shrewd enough in all the things we do to serve God, not mammon. Because God can save us from all the complexities of mammon and all the compromises that are inevitably bound up with it. And because it's so complicated, because mammon is so dirty, and because we are all inevitably sullied by having to deal with it, we need to be shrewd about what we do. We need to be thoughtful, canny, sharp. Let me finish with a prayer, which I also used on Friday at the meeting of the governing body. Almighty God, bless us with the surprises of your gentleness and the dignities of your kindness, that we may in all things collect and share your true riches. Amen. Amen.